Welcome to another message from Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Steve Raines.
We're continuing on in our series, Church Hurt, this morning, and I had sent Austin the message outline so he could prep for the life group questions that the groups will be discussing, and he replied back to me this: have fun preaching this message. And I was like, I replied back, easy peasy, but as the days have gone on, I thought, Jesus, come back quickly. Just because of the topic this morning, we've been in this series, Church Hurt, and last week we talked about protecting your heart and how to handle, how you and I need to walk through church hurt if that happens. And then week one was just talking about when the church does hurt. And just kind of unpacking that. And so those first 2 weeks were kind of like helpful. This morning is going to be helpful, but this morning's going to be more like about you and I and our responsibility in making sure or helping to hinder or not make it as easy for church hurt to happen. So I'm glad that you're all leaning in right now and not building walls, right? As we've kind of walked through this series the last several weeks and just talking with individuals through the years, questions are asked like, well, why does church happen or church hurt happen? What do people think about the church? I know in several conversations I've had through the years, recent conversations I've had, people will say to me, well, you know why I don't like the church? Do you know why I don't go to church? And so often I will hear people say, well, the number one reason I don't go to church is because the church is just a bunch of hypocrites, right? You've heard it too. And in this past week, I was listening to a podcast when I was out running one morning, and they threw out some stats from the Barner Research Group, which I'm careful with stats, but these just grabbed my attention. And it was, they had asked questions or just not to just focusing on the church people, but people across the spectrum of America was their target on this poll, and it was the perception of the local church. And so that got my attention, knowing that this topic that we're on, and so they were just asking the general population, not just the Christian folks of America, but the general population and the perception of the local church. So it really grabbed my attention. I wanted to share it with you this morning. There was five positive perceptions. The first one was this, a question: the church offers hope to people. 74% of Americans said yes, the church does offer hope to people. 60% of those that were asked said the church cares for people like me. 59% found the church was trustworthy. 61% said that the church was generous, and 53% said that it's making a difference. Now, I don't know about you, but as I'm running, I'm like picking up the pace going, hey, that's like some good news. Those are some reports that I wouldn't have expected from the general population. Flip the coin. Five negative perceptions of the church. Hypocritical, 33% of those polled said they have that perception of the church. Detached from real issues facing community, 30%. Irrelevant to me, 36%. Judgmental, 37%. And then the final one was known for things that they are against. I know that I've said it. I know others have said it too, as they stand behind a pulpit delivering a message. comments like, and we make it in jest. It's a fun statement. It's intended to maybe be disarming, but I know I've said things like this, you know, well, why don't you come to church? Well, the church is full of hypocrites. And I've said things like, well, come on, because there's always room for one more. Right? And it's a true statement. But in some regards, I wonder if it's dismissive in that there's some very real pain that many people have. There's disappointments that they've encountered because of behavior of Christians or behavior of someone in a spiritual role, a spiritual leader in their life. Of those who can't claim to follow Christ. And some of you know firsthand, there was someone that you looked up to spiritually. They said one thing, they did something else. It was very, very painful to you. They represented one thing. Maybe it was your youth pastor, maybe it was a pastor, maybe it was an elder. Could have been a mom or dad. That your mom or dad was one thing at church, and then they went home. And they were totally different. It was incredibly painful, but incredibly amazing how they morphed before your very eyes. So this morning, I want us to talk about the hard subject of not being a hypocrite. I want to talk to you about the subject of hypocrisy this morning. A hypocrite can be defined as this: someone who behaves in a way that contradicts what they say or believe. They profess to be living one way, but in reality they are living in a totally different way. They pretend to be something they are not. Brennan Manning, who wrote the book The Ragamuffin Gospel, said this in reference to hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is not the prerogative of people in high places. The most impoverished among us is capable of it. Hypocrisy is the natural expression of what it meanest is in all of us. Isn't that true? We all have had moments when we displayed that quite well, haven't we? Moments when our walk doesn't match our talk. Not always. I think about my own life through 29 years of marriage, coming up on 30 years in April, that I've not always been a loving husband the way I could have been. I've not always led my family as well as I should have spiritually. Doesn't mean that, you know, I was doing sinful things and leading them in sinful ways or anything like that, but I know that as I look back over my shoulder, that there was things that I could have done different, I could have done better in leading them spiritually. I wasn't always a kind father. There were times when I would say things like, would you just be quiet, go to bed, leave me alone, I'm trying to sleep, I don't, leave me alone, or whatever it was, right? I won't be always a patient driver. I'm not always a kind friend. I'm not always a gentle boss. See if you've ever done any of these things before, just to kind of try to get us on the same page. For those of you that are parents in the room or grandparents in the room, have you ever told your kids not to yell while they were while your kids were yelling and you told them not to yell, you did so by yelling at them? Getting upset with a person who is riding your tail, so you aggressively pull around the car in front of you? I've never done that. I was thinking about this the other day, those moments where you had maybe an opportunity to be hypocritical. And thank God you weren't. And a scenario went through my mind. I think I've shared this before, but years ago when I was Caleb's little peewee football coach, and we were playing a team that was experienced and much better than our little guys, and we were just a new program just starting out, and we were playing the Blue Thunder, and they were really good, and they were letting us know that they were really good because they were killing us. And they, I mean, it was like 35-0, you know, end of the game. And I'm on the sideline going, oh, it's almost over. And they have the ball, and it's under a minute left, and I'm watching their coach. It's 35, it's over. And their coach calls a time, they have the ball, and their coach calls a timeout. They're like on our 40-yard line, and he calls a timeout. And he huddles his team up, and then, you know, this is what we're going to do. And they break the huddle, and the coach looks at the ref, and he says, if we don't score on this play, I want another timeout. I was livid. Robin's up in the stands. She knows me. She's watching me. She's praying. She's intercessing. Right? And I mean, I was able to kind of, like, why are you running up the score? Right? And you want your team on the box of Wheaties? Is that your goal? I mean, what's the, you know? And so I was ticked. And finally, fortunately, I was able to get a hold of myself, and we were shaking hands. And I just looked at the coach, and I just said, hey, man, what was that all about? You know, and you've seen videos of peewee football coaches and parents, right? And he kind of stepped back and roostered up a little bit. And I said, what was that all about? Why are you running up the score? And one of the other coaches, an assistant coach from the other team, and it wasn't like, I wasn't like putting on the gloves. It was, I mean, it's football. It's stupid, right? But I was, I mean, I was upset. I just said, hey, why were you doing that? Why are you running up the score? And, so, you know, a couple other things were said. And all of a sudden, this guy, an assistant coach on the team, pipes up and he says, hey, aren't you a pastor at First Assembly? And I was like, here's my credential card. No, I'm just kidding. I hadn't said anything wrong, but I was like so glad in that moment that I didn't do something, I didn't say something that was inappropriate, that would have been hypocritical in the moment. So we've all had these moments. I know what I'm talking about. Moments when you act one way, moments when you say one thing and you demonstrate another, moments when the profession of your mouth needs some confession, if you know what I'm talking about. Look at your neighbor real quick and just say, you've had moments too. Right? So we all feel better about this. We've all had those hypocritical moments. That isn't the problem. When we have a moment, don't settle for it. When you mess up, you fess up, you come clean, you have necessary conversations with your spouse, with your kids, with coworkers, with your church family. But the big issue, the big problem is when hypocrisy is a person's lifestyle. That's what we're talking about this morning. What is the difference between a moment and a lifestyle? Let me just talk to you real quick. Two main behaviors of a hypocritical lifestyle. And as we walk through this morning, I want you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 23 and Matthew chapter 6. Jesus unpacks some hypocrisy here. And I would encourage you this week or today just to read through both of these chapters, Matthew 6, Matthew chapter 23. And the first thing that I want us to see is this. Hypocrites are actors. Look at it, verse 1 in Matthew 23. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, the scribes and the Pharisees sit at Moses' seat. So do and observe whatever they tell you, but not the works they do, for they preach but do not practice. They don't practice, in other words, what they preach, right? Jesus said hypocrites don't practice what they preach. They tell you to live one way, but they live another way. This isn't a moment, but it's a lifestyle. They're fake. They're actors. Who has a favorite actor? Or actress. I mean, how many of you are like, man, if like so-and-so is in a movie, I'm watching that movie because I love their ability to act. And you know, you've been at a movie, maybe I've probably watched more movies the last 19 months than I have my whole life because of everything going on. And you're in a movie, you're watching this movie, you're at the theater, you're in your basement, wherever you're watching it, and whatever's going on, your heart's beating a little bit faster maybe. A lump's building in your throat because, I mean, if I just say Hallmark movies right now, some of you are just going to start weeping. Maybe you're watching an action movie and you're pushing on the floor a little bit harder, like you're driving the car, and you're like, yeah. Robin and I didn't ask if I could share this, but can I share this? It's a moment. I've shared it before, I think. But anyway, several years ago, we went to the movie theater over there on North Rock to catch a movie, a date night or whatever. And I mean, it was the movie was being shown in one of the theaters that has the nice reclining seats. You know, you hit the button and wouldn't it be awesome if we had those in here right now? I'm just kidding. And heated seats. There's space, you know, no one, like, you can't hear your neighbor smacking on their popcorn or anything like that. And I think we were watching the movie The Shallows, if my memory serves me right, which is kind of a spinoff from Jaws, and it was so funny. I was watching Robin get sucked into this movie the whole time, and her feet were up in the air. It's like she thought the sharks were swimming through the aisles or something. It was like, you know, it was just absolutely hilarious. You know that where that actor, that storyline just sucks you in. The actor's so compelling that you're just like, oh my goodness, that's what a hypocrite does. They are actors. They pull you in. They make you think that they are living one way but are actually living totally different. They say one thing but they're displaying another thing. They are playing a part. Unfortunately, there are people in churches who are acting. We act that everything is good at home, but it isn't. We post pictures that life is all together, but it's not. We post statements that say we are stable emotionally, spiritually, whatever, but we're not. The picture of the coffee cup and the open Bible and the journal that's posted speaks of a hot spiritual life, but the empty pages throughout the journal would testify differently. Let me just say this. Today's not about social media, but it's a personal opinion of mine that social media is a perfect breeding ground for hypocrisy. We act like we have stability when we don't. We act like the bank account maybe is cushioned, but it's not. We are asked, how are you doing? I'm good. I'm fine. I'm blessed. Hallelujah. The reality is we're stressed, we're empty, we're anxious. What's the difference between a hypocritical moment and a life? Hypocrites are acting. It's fake. They're playing a part. Here's the second thing that I want us to see. Hypocrites live to impress people. People who live a life of hypocrisy are consumed with impressing others. Look at what Jesus says in Matthew 23, verse 5. Everything they do is for men to see. They make their phylacteries wide and their tassels on their garments long. They love the place of honor at banquets and the most important seats in the synagogue. They love to be greeted in the marketplace and to have men call them rabbi. They love, you know. It's this, what I would call the see me, notice me syndrome. They do everything to be seen by people. Words and actions aren't genuine and authentic. It's all for people. It's all show. And they were living for the applause of men instead of the pleasure of God. In other words, hypocrites are skin deep. The focus is all on the outside, and there isn't much thought about what's going on the inside. And Jesus gives some examples of skin-deep hypocrisy in Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward for your Father who's in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in their synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. What were they doing? They want to be seen by others. They're trying to impress others. Their motivation is all about recognition. There's a great example of that. We won't take time to go there, but just to make a note in your a mark in your notes, Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira, a classic example of hypocrisy. And did you notice what Jesus said about the hypocrite? God doesn't bless them. For the guys that are going through the discipleship groups on Wednesday nights and Saturday mornings, Joshua chapter 1:8, our life verse, or the memory verse for the week. Keep the commands of the Lord on your lips. Meditate upon them night and day. This is Steve Raines version a little bit, flipping it up. So that you may, help me, Brian. Be careful and do the word of the Lord, to do all that's written in them. And then this is the promise. Then you will be successful. What's the first one? Man, I had it earlier. I knew I was going to do this. Prosperous and successful. Anyway, I had it earlier. But listen, Jesus said they have received their reward. And I don't bless their hypocrisy. He goes on to say in verse 5, and when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received the reward. What's the motive? To be seen by others. Now, does that mean that you shouldn't, is it wrong to pray out in public? No, that's not what the heart of Jesus is saying. He's saying their life is skin deep. They don't get any reward from God. They don't receive the blessing of their obedience, doesn't produce within them prosperity and success. You want to have a blessed life? Then be authentic, be genuine, be without wax. Philippians chapter 1, verse 10 says this, be sincere in your faith. It's the idea of without wax, that this vessel that you are is whole and true. That no matter where you are, in private or in public or with a few or with the masses, that you are who you are. And listen, friends, there is such freedom in that. Too often for the hypocrite, what they do is about appeasing others, living for others and not for God. Notice again, God says, I don't bless the hypocrites. They get no reward from God. In other words, as Jesus is referencing prayer, it would indicate then that there's a lot of unanswered prayers. Verse 5, and when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogue and on the street corners so that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. Don't miss it. Hypocrites are consumed with trying to impress others. It's all about image. They practice their righteousness for others to see. They give for others to see. Perhaps in this scenario here, they give for others, they pray for others, they fast for others to see. And life becomes all to impress. So, church hurt shows up when individuals decide to live hypocritical lives. Let's talk about two negative effects of living a hypocritical life. The first one is this, trust is broken. Verse 3, Matthew 23, so do and observe whatever they tell you, but not the works they do, for they preach but do not practice. Jesus is saying, what they tell you to do is good, but they aren't leading in that way. They aren't practicing what they're preaching. Praying is good. fasting is good, giving is good. All these things that Jesus references, they're good, but they're not doing that. Their walk doesn't match their talk. Jesus is saying, don't trust them then. Listen, church hurt happens when trust is broken, true? You trusted someone's lifestyle, you trusted their words, their actions, their leadership, their motive, and then you later found out that they were just acting. They weren't sincere. They were fake. Because of that, trust was broken and you're hurt, and it's understandable. I mean, why didn't they just own up to it? Why didn't they just walk away? Why did they go down that road? I know that many of us in this room have been let down. You've been discouraged or disappointed by a pastor or a parent or by another Christ follower, and you were hurt. Let me just say this again. We've said it all through this series. When a person has broken trust, don't become disillusioned with God and people. When trust has been broken, you can begin to wonder, who can I trust? Can I trust the church? Can I trust the leaders? Can I trust my family who disappointed me? Can I trust the Bible and the gospel? Can I trust God? Can I trust my neighbor's cat? No, you can't. We've all seen and know people whose faith is wrecked because someone else was living a hypocritical life. They stopped wanting to pursue God. They moved towards giving up on God and His church. Listen, Life Point, don't ever let a hypocrite cause you to give up on God. We said this earlier in the series, but it's so true. If people messes up your faith, then your faith was not anchored in God. That's not an excuse. That's not to justify anything what somebody did. But if that action causes me to take my eyes off of a Father who purchased my salvation, who has filled me with the Holy Spirit, who has given me promises for now and for eternity, if it robs me of that, then I'm not keeping my eyes weren't on God. It's on people, and I'll always be disappointed. As the old hymn says, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is shifting sand. Our faith has to be in Jesus, our hope in Jesus, our focus on Jesus. Someone else's actions or sins aren't going to dissuade me. I'm locked in and I'm loaded in on Jesus. My redemption comes from Jesus. My hope comes from Jesus. My help comes from Jesus. My focus is on Jesus, but it hurts when people break trust because of a hypocritical lifestyle. I get that. Not minimizing that. There's a second negative effect of living a hypocritical life, and it's this. It puts a heavy burden on people's shoulders. Look at it, verse 4. They tie up heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to move them with their finger. The Pharisees were telling people to obey, 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 but they weren't obeying them. They were making up rules for people, weighing people down. Unfortunately, the church has done some of that through the years, right? I can remember when we were in Bible college, Central Bible College, and since the school doesn't exist anymore, I can make my confessions now. But one of the rules was that, we could go to movies. We weren't supposed to go to movies. And if you did, you better hope Jesus didn't come back while you were at the movie. All right? And so, but I can remember one year we weren't able to travel at Christmas time because Robin was pregnant with Austin, and so her parents came, and so we went to the movie. We watched The Father of the Bride. It was so good. And then I repented. No. But we, you know, you don't go to movies. Don't you dare have a TV in your home. Don't wear shorts. Don't wear open-toed shoes. I haven't figured that one out yet. don't you do this, or don't wear makeup for the ladies. For the guys, you know, don't wear muscle shirts, or you know, put on the tie, because blessed is the tie that binds. Aren't you glad? How many guys in this house right now are just so grateful that you don't have to wear a suit and tie this morning? Okay, all you guys, next week, suit and ties. I mean, if we're not careful, we can put burdens on people that we don't even want to live by. And that's what's happening here in Matthew 23 and Matthew 6. That's what Jesus is referencing. It was keeping people from God instead of bringing people to God. Let me give you two lifestyle changes that bring hope instead of hurt as we kind of look for the runway here. A hypocritical life brings hurt, and it doesn't bring hope. Jesus is about our wholeness. He's about hope. He's about life. So how do we guard our hearts from becoming hypocritical and burdensome? I think the first thing that we can do is be inward focused more than you are outward focused. Beware, verse 6, or chapter 6, verse 1 says, beware of practicing your righteousness before others in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Jesus is saying, don't be focused on being seen. Don't be outward focused. Don't let that be the why behind what you're doing. Focus on the inward. That is so countercultural. Society is wired for image. And being conscious of that. It's all about so much of our society, you know, it's all about beauty, it's all about fashion, it's about stuff, it's about what you're becoming. And if a person is going to overcome living a hypocritical lifestyle, you have to shift your focus. We must be more focused on the inside than the outside. Pay attention to the inside. Your character matters. Your spiritual growth matters. Your awareness of the presence of God matters. Let me just pause and ask you a question this morning. When was the last time that you were aware of the presence of God? I'm hoping you're saying, well, I'm aware of it right now. But I'm fully aware that there's been seasons in my life where, man, it feels like it's been a long time since I sensed the presence of God. I knew He was there. I knew I wasn't doing anything sinful or anything to move me from that, but it just felt like a dry season. In those moments, you have two choices. I'm just going to settle and abide in this season, or I'm going to push towards my master, because I'm not okay with being here. And the moment we get okay in being in a dry season, we're setting ourselves up. Okay, that was free. Are you living for God's approval or for people's approval? Look at it, Matthew 6:3. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. May the Lord help us to focus on the secret things, the unseen things. May our motives be pure. May we do the right things for the right reasons, for the right motives. And help us, Lord, to please you, to serve you, to give you honor, because the secret things matter. Jesus goes on to further say in verse 6, and when you pray, do not go into your room and shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Secret things matter. Things on the inside matter. Does that mean we don't have public prayer meetings? Absolutely not. The church comes together and prays. But it's not about being seen. It should make us ask the question, what am I trying to develop the most? Am I trying to develop the inside or the outside? Verse 17, but when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. God, help us to be more focused on the inward than on the outward. More concerned about the depth of our relationship with you, God, than the likes on social media posts or the perspective of other people or the opinions of other people. Look at the second lifestyle change that brings hope instead of hurt. It's this, be real instead of fake. Look at what Jesus says to those who are pursuing the applause of men, that they are worried about what it looks like on the outside. Look at it, Matthew 23, verse 11. The greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. I think here's what Jesus is teaching us. You overcome hypocrisy with humility. Pride is why people live fake lives. Pride is why people live to impress others. Pride is why people pretend to be something that they're not. Pride says no one can know my real issues, my struggles, my failures, my pains. I have to wear a mask. I have to fake it. If people knew the real me, they would reject me. Pride keeps us from being real. It takes humility to overcome hypocrisy, doesn't it? And Jesus said, humble yourself, and then you will be exalted. If the worship team would come, let me just do this. Let me give you two takeaways. First one is this, be real with yourself. Man, it's so freeing to be real. It's freeing to confess. And then secondly, be real with others. Granted, not everyone needs to know your business, but some do. Obviously, those closest to you need to know. If you're married, your spouse, you know, close family member, if appropriate, brother or sister in Christ. Not everyone needs to know your business, but some do. James 5:16 tells us this, confess your sins, what? One to another. Why? Because when we confess to God for salvation, we acknowledge our need for Him, but when we confess to others, there's healing there. Scripture tells us that in Matthew 5. Pride says this, I can't let people in. I can't let people know. I just have to be an actor because I can't let people know the real me. As through the years of being involved in ministry, I've been privileged to see firsthand the benefits of life groups and the healing that people living shoulder to shoulder, being transparent with one another, brings. Hearing testimonies coming out of ministries like the Women of Valor group, where part of the time is just saying, this is who I am, or this is a burden I'm carrying. I've been privileged this fall to join a group of guys on Wednesday night and do discipleship with them and to hear just struggles and burdens and watch guys come around one another to champion them, to carry the burden with them, to pray for them. And not once, I'm not saying it's never happened, but not once have I seen someone pick up a stone and say, well, let me beat you up some more. But I have seen people go, yeah, that's not my exact struggle, but I know what you're talking about. I know I'm not alone. And you need to know that you're not alone. Let's do this thing together. And let's be whole and let's be healthy. And let's pursue Christ with everything we have. Because at the end of the day, if we could just be honest with each other, I know you're really not that impressed with me, and I'm really not that impressed with you. Just being real. So let's let the guards down. And let's promote health. And let's be whole. And let's help us. In the words of Paul in Philippians 1:10, let's help each other be sincere in the faith. Because at the end of the day, may our life be an offering to Him. Amen? And I don't know about you, but if there's such thing as a top 10 plays of the day about your life in heaven, I want it all to be about Jesus. Because that video will play out. If it's just about us, well, there's no reward there. Our reward will be, oh, good job. That's impressive. And the calendar moves on, and that thing's forgotten. You know what I'm saying? Father God, this morning, we thank you for your presence. Thank you for your help, Holy Spirit. Not an easy, fun message to dive into today, but a necessary message because, Lord, you want us to be healthy. And we've said all along that this series isn't because we see things going on. This is all about preventative preaching this morning. And Lord, my prayer as a shepherd of this congregation is that we would be whole and that we would be healthy. And Lord God, that Lord, if we have a momentary lapse and we make a bad decision, we do something sinful, God, that we would be quick to confess that and not hide it. And Lord, if there's others in the room or watching online and God, they maybe feel like their mail has been read a little bit this morning because there's some hypocrisy there that maybe nobody else knows about. And they know that it's sucking the life, the spiritual life, the spiritual vitality, the life of the Spirit out of them. And they sense the death that's being injected in them. And God, may there be a holy ambition, a holy fight rising up within them this morning to cut the ties of that hypocrisy and to come clean and to come broken before you and if necessary, before those that are close to them that can spur them on and that can walk with them. And Lord, that they would know healing and wholeness and a fervency for Jesus that may have been lacking. God, we just open up our hands. Would you just do that, church, just right where you're sitting, just open up your hands. God, you know every line in our finger. You know every mark and every crevice in our hands. There's nothing that we can't hide from you. And God, if there's any incongruity in our life, anything that's not matching up, anything that's not lining up, anything that would speak of more image than an integrity, God, we open that up before you this morning. And God, we want our lives to be whole, young and old in this room. Lord, there's freedom in an open hand. Fill us, Holy Spirit, right now. Empower us to live a life that displays the authority and the power of your kingdom manifesting in us. Take those things out of us, Father God, that are displeasing, that are second best, that are cluttering up our life. And fill us with your Spirit. Fill us with a passion. Fill us with a first love, a first desire, burden to follow you and to live for you in this moment. God, if there's anyone here today that they're not in right relationship with you, they came into this place this morning knowing that their eternity, they're not set for eternity. They're not sure where they would spend eternity, but God, because of your great love for them, Lord, they can know with a surety this morning that they can be in right relationship with you, not on their own efforts, but because of Christ. It's all because of Christ. It's Jesus, it's Jesus, it's Jesus. And God, they're here this morning, and they feel this pull, they feel this yearning, they feel this desire that they've never had before to know you and to ask you to be their Lord and Savior, to come into their life. Doesn't mean they have it all figured out. They may have a litany of questions, and that's okay. But God, right now, they're saying, this is the first thing I need to do. Ask you to forgive my sin and ask you to be the Lord of my life. If you're here in this place and that would be you, would you just slip up your hand? Steve, I've never done that. I want to do that. Or maybe it was a long time ago I did it, but I walked away, been living for myself, and I just need to make first priorities, first things first. I need to let Jesus be my Lord and Savior. Anyone at all? If you're here this morning and you have questions about that, what that means, please come and find me or one of the other pastors. And we'd want to talk to you about that. As we step to this closing song of worship this morning, if you want to respond and come to the altar because you feel like the Lord is put his hand upon you in reference to something in this message he's spoken to you. And man, don't put off the promptings of the Spirit. Don't put off what the Spirit is speaking to you. Move towards it now. Would you stand with me? Let's sing this song as a declaration of the goodness of God and our dependence upon him. If you want to come to the altar, please feel free to do so.
This concludes the teaching. Thank you for listening, and we hope you can join us for next Sunday's service with Pastor Steve Raines.